amazing. I'm not sure what to do with this chair up here. I'm just going to kind of do it to the side. I don't know if I'm sick of sitting down. But good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here, everybody. I'm Jason. Hershey is my last name. And I come from the Hershey Chocolate Factory family in Pennsylvania, but I'm not a direct descendant. So don't ask me for any free chocolate. I don't have anything to do that. But it's good to be here this morning. If YWAM Washington, D.C. had a home church, this would be it. Because Embassy Church put a whole new meaning to the words home church, because we literally used to live here. This actually was our home church. We live, YWAM Washington, D.C., if you roll the clock back 3 years ago, we were living, including my family were living in the Sunday school room, and the rest of us were kind of all hunkered down, kind of through that wall over there behind the flags and up in that area with the cafe. These days, we landed in Fort Washington, Maryland, which isn't too far from here, on the other side of town. And that's where our primary discipleship training base is. It's where most of our staff live and move and have their being. But then we also have on the wall in Washington, D.C., right beside the Smithsonian Castle, and in that area, Davidson, D.C., this is my daughter, Pillar. I can tell that she's Pillar because even though her and Anthem are about the same height, I can feel that her hair is very curly and fluffy, so I know that's Pillar. It's kind of like Jacob and Esau, you know, you just kind of like, go hug it, so it's Pillar. Hey, welcome. My wife Kimberly, she's in California right now with her folks. This past week she flew out there to be with her grandmothers and her parents and her brother. And so I've been here kind of as a single dad with the other five. We have six. The infant anchor, our littlest girl, is with my wife out in California. So, but mommy comes home tonight, right guys? Yes, we are so stoked to have mommy back tonight. Tomorrow, it's game on for the Hershey family, so we're super stoked about that. You may stay up here with me if you like. That's perfectly fine. I like having you here. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. I want to read a verse to you this morning. Hopefully this can kick us off into 2018. 2017, year of establishment and abundance. That was a prophetic word spoken for us in our community. And it was that. God fulfilled his word to us in 2017 in a big way. We were celebrating that last night. So super stoked about what God did in 2017 and 2018 coming up. I encourage you, everybody, to go to the Lord and say, give me an anchor word. Give me a word from God for 2018. As all of us, as we seek the Lord together, year in, year out, I think one of the primary journeys for my life is, oh God, give me a clearer revelation and a better picture of who you actually are. Fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know you better. Like, is that not the prayer of all prayers? God, we want to know you better in 2018 than 2017. We want to know you more. Like, I know, like, we have a team here from Fire and Fragrance Kona. Praise God. And Bert came in for Awake the Dawn, and backstage she said, hey, you think you guys could have an outreach team in here? I'm like, yes, please. And he said, like, over Christmas? He said, perfect! So super glad that you guys are here. But guess what? This year's been your year of Fire and Fragrance ETS, you're not an outreach. But guess what? You're going to be seeking God even harder next year than last year, aren't you? We want a greater spirit of wisdom and revelation going forward. I mean, next year things is amazing. But oh God, we got 2018, and we're going to get to know you even more in 2018 than when we did in 2017. And 2017 was pretty amazing, wasn't it, guys? Okay, these guys are just getting done with lecture phase right now. You guys got to know a whole lot, not just about God in your discipleship training school. You actually got to know God in your DTS, and you got to grow in a real friendship with him, right? David said DTS, same thing. You got to actually press into the heart of the Father, got to know him more. But 2018 is coming. So 2018 is coming, and we're going to get to know God even more next year than what we did in 2017, even when we were in our DTS. Right? When I did my DTS, When I went to discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission, my friend who didn't go to DTS, I come back home 6 months later. Chris Kaufman, he and I actually shared an apartment together before I went to Wyoming. I came back and Chris was completely different than when I left. I said, Chris, what's going on? He said, I wasn't going to let you know God better than me. Every night he'd come home from work, he'd pull out his Bible, he'd go in prayer, he'd go after God. He said, I wasn't going to let you know God better than me. I know you went to the BTS, but I did too. Right? He saw the heart of God. He was a different guy, right? Amen. That's a good, healthy competition. Brothers, spurring each other on to know the Lord more, right? Romans chapter 5. Romans 15. Holy Spirit, this morning we ask you to fill this place with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of God. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come sweeping into right now the atmosphere of our heart and mind. We invite you to come sweeping into this room once again, into this amazing church here at Embassy Church on Embassy Row in D.C. Holy Spirit, we ask you to be the commanding personality in the room. We ask you to be the one that we're all recognizing that you're here. Holy Spirit, come. Today, manifest your presence. Be here with us. We want to hear a word from you today. Holy Spirit, more than my words coming out of my mouth today, I ask you, Lord, the conversation that happens inside of everybody in the room today, whatever they're thinking inside their inner man as I'm preaching this morning, God, I want to pray that you would anoint that inner conversation, that you would lead all of us into a greater, deeper relationship with the most loving, attractive, amazing being in all the universe. We want to know more of you, God. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you're here. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 15:5, I love this verse. Now, we have a couple outreach teams that we're going to be commissioning out of here this morning. So, Embassy Church, thank you for joining us, letting us come here and commission our outreach teams out from here this morning. It's wonderful to be here. One outreach team's going to Brazil, the other one Uganda, and we're going to pray the night here at the end of the service. Romans 15, verse 5. This is one of Paul's apostolic prayers. So Paul, as the apostolic father of the Roman church, he's basically writing this in his letter to the Romans saying, this is one of my prayers for you. So as you go through the epistles, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, you'll find different, within the letters that prayer wrote, that Paul wrote to the churches that he planted, you can hear the heart of the Father beating within these prayers. This is my heart for you, Roman church. This is my heart for you, Corinthian church. This is my heart for you, Ephesian church. As we're praying for the nations of the earth, as we're praying for the United States, we have to look into the heart of God in these prayers and say, heart of the Father, how did you pray? Holy Spirit, how did you inspire Paul to pray as he was writing these prayers in the Bible? You didn't know he was writing the Bible. As he was writing the prayers and the letters to the churches that he planted as the apostolic father, the Holy Spirit filled him with the heart of the Father and said, this is my prayer for you. Right? So as we're interceding for the nations, as we're interceding for people, groups, and cities, we want to actually delve into the letters that Paul wrote, these epistles. We want to find the apostolic prayers. We want to begin to pray them, because then we know we're praying the heart of the Holy Spirit for these places. Amen? So this is Romans chapter 15, verse 5. I love this verse. May the God of endurance... Have you worshipped that God lately? The God of endurance. The Greek word there means the God that's patiently waiting. He endures. With patience, he's waiting. May the God of endurance and encouragement. Have you worshipped the God of encouragement? God is the God of encouragement. Fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, that we may see you more clearly. You're the God of endurance. You're the God of encouragement. This is who you are, O God. Amen? Romans 15:5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ. So he's saying, may the God of endurance, patiently waiting, encouragement, may that God grant all of you to live in harmony with one another along with Jesus. Right? So we're all flowing together with Jesus. There is a great secret to unity in this prayer, isn't there? We're all seeking unity. Embassy Church is seeking a more united body, right? We as YWAM Washington, D.C., we're seeking God that we'd have a more united body. As the Church of America, interdenominationally, the Big C Church of the whole world, we're seeking God that we would be more united together, right? We all know John 17, that Jesus prayed for the church to be one as the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus are one, right? In this apostolic prayer, there is a great secret to unity. The God of endurance and the God of encouragement. A couple weeks ago, I was meditating on this prayer late at night, middle of the night. And suddenly the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me. I said, Jason, every single page in my book has an encouraging word on it. You can open up to any page in the Bible and you'll find something on that page that will encourage your heart. So I decided I was going to test it, right? So I'm sitting there in my rocking chair, in my living room, and it opened up my Bible. You know what it opened up to? The blank page. The New Testament. And so I stand at the blank page, and I'm like, the New Testament! Yeah! I was so encouraged, because no longer do I have to make any sacrifices or any idea. No longer am I tied to a legalistic system, but the God of grace and mercy through Christ has given me a New Testament, right? So I sat there and I stared at the blank page between the Old and the New Testament, and I was so encouraged, right? So I'm like, okay, God, it worked. Let's try again. So the next time I opened up again, and opened up to Daniel 10, where the angel of the Lord comes to Daniel and says, oh, Daniel, highly esteemed one. Hey, don't you want to be called cool by God? Like, highly esteemed one of the Lord, oh, Daniel. Okay, that's encouraging. Thank you, God, for giving me that encouraging word. Thank you that you think I'm cool, God, you know? All right, I'm going to keep going on. You guys, this God of encouragement, is this not the story of the whole Bible? From the beginning to the end, is the God, 365 times in Scripture, he says the words, do not fear. One for every day, right? Be strong and courageous. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. That was like the command of Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about what you eat or what you will wear. Be anxious about nothing. But in prayer, petition, and everything, give thanks to, you know, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will dwell in the heart and mind of Christ Jesus. Is this not the God that we serve? All through Scripture. Be content in all circumstances. Be, you know, hopeful in affliction. Hang in there. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Is this not the God that we serve? The whole Bible is full of again and again and again. Have faith. Believe me for this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Again and again and again and again. Okay, so I just primed the pump. We're going to take like 3 minutes here, and wherever you are, we're just going to like popcorn shout out different short phrases that are in Scripture. All right, you ready, Jess? You primed? All right, you got to think of one. Okay, think of a phrase in Scripture somewhere in the Bible that is an encouragement to his people.
All right, here we go. Who's first? Just shout it out from where you are.
The blood speaks.
The blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Amen.
It's encouraging.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
I have loved you with an everlasting love.
I have loved you with an everlasting love.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
He has plans with an S.
If one file didn't work out okay, he'll just go to the filing cabinet, pull out another plan for you. He's got plenty of them. Go ahead.
Greater is he who is in you than the one who is out there.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Right? Amen.
Perfect love casts out all fear.
Perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
All things work together for the good. We sang it this morning, right?
He's given us power over all the power of the enemy.
He's given us power over all the power of the enemy.
I like the one about crushing it. Ooh, soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen.
I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
I have come that they may have life and to the full. That's encouraging. Come on. Somebody else.
Behold, I am with you.
Behold, I am with you. Never leave you or forsake you. I think that's got to be one of the most encouraging scriptures in the whole. I am with you.
Last night, Pillar, my little girl, she was saying, "Dad, I'm scared." I said, "You're not scared. You're brave." She's like, "Dad, I'm scared." I said, "No, you're not scared. You're brave." But I realized the reason why we're brave is not because God's just made us brave. The reason why we're brave is because God's with us. And it's his presence with us that makes us courageous, bold, brave, all that stuff. All
right, a couple more encouraging words from Scripture.
It is finished.
It is finished. Woo! Amen.
It is finished.
Take one more.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Okay, you're his sheep. He knows how to guard his treasures. He's got big angels with swords watching over you. He's not going to let the sheep get stolen from his flock. He's a good, good shepherd, right? Go ahead, try to cross Jesus' flock. See what happens.
All right. Okay,
outreach teams.
This team's going literally from here this afternoon. You guys are going to Uganda.
On Wednesday, this team heads off to Brazil. So the Great Commission says, go into all the world, right?
Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the things that I've taught you.
It says, go,
and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Encouraging word as you go, God, the God of encouragement will be with you.
Now, some of us, we didn't really grow up in environments that were too encouraging. Maybe we grew up in an environment that was really discouraging. Every day, it's just like people were like pouring like water or fire in your heart. Like, you know, you're wilting like a flower because of whatever environment.
But guess what? When you come into the kingdom
and you're in the Father's house, you're with the Lord now,
every day you're spending time living in the presence of the Lord, guess what?
You're now in the presence of the God of encouragement. And suddenly your heart becomes alive, doesn't it? And these words, I loved you. I've loved you with an everlasting love.
These words, oh, what manner of love is in the Father that we are considered children of God. Every day these words are coming and encouraging our hearts, right?
And so now that we've come into the kingdom, We're now in the house of the Father. We're now living in the presence of the Lord. That's the God of encouragement. And guess what? Our hearts get encouraged more and more and more and more and more every day. And this, suddenly, when we're all encouraged, that becomes our unity, doesn't it? When we're all discouraged, a little bit down, in the doldrums, guess what? Rubbings start happening, don't they? But when we're encouraged in the Lord, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's a synergy of unity with Christ, because He's the God of encouragement. So 2018, here's the challenge. This book, every single page is an encouragement. Let's be encouraged every single day of 2018. Let's cast discouragement aside. Let's cast heaviness aside. Okay, if you guys are half as human as I am, this is the way it goes sometimes. Your circumstances are really tough. And your brother comes up to you, your sister in the Lord, and goes, "Hey, you know what? I got a word for you." They give you a blazingly really good, encouraging word. But they don't tell you that your circumstances are going to change. They just give you a really, really, really good, encouraging word, right? And so, but then this is what happens. You walk away, and you're like, "Well, that's a good word, but I still got my circumstances." Has that happened to anybody?
No.
And after a while, some of us actually live in prophetic environments that we're getting a fresh word every day. Almost, it's like another day, another word. Somebody's and everyone's like, "Great, another word." But my circumstances haven't changed, God. And so it's almost like we begin to resist the encouragement because, well, that kind of, if we resist the encouragement, then we have a right to be mopey about the circumstance, right? But this is what God said. This is what the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, "I've led the children of Israel into the wilderness. I actually allowed them to hunger so that they," let me make sure I get it right, "so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The encouragement of our heart isn't whether we have bread or not, is it? The encouragement of our heart is the words that come from the God of encouragement into our lives. God actually led the children of Israel into the wilderness and allowed them to hunger to teach them that their encouragement is not in their circumstances, but their encouragement is in the words coming from the mouth of the God of encouragement. And when we know that deep in our souls, that we any day we can open up His word and simply be encouraged by the Lord, no matter what happened in all the circumstances of our lives that day, consider the worst, we can still be encouraged in the Lord, because that is the God that we serve, the God of encouragement. Amen? So let's keep encouraging one another. But then when we're on the side of receiving the encouraging word, we have to receive it, right? "Oh, someone's been trying to encourage me." So if you come to me and say, "Hey, Jason, I'm really struggling," probably the first thing I'm going to say is, "May I encourage you? May I encourage you? Do I have permission to give you a word that you're going to say, 'Yes, that's the truth. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to walk with the Lord,'" right? So as you guys go on your outreaches, every day be encouraged to the Lord. Every day meet with God. I love how David, like when his home base camp was attacked by the Philistines, and the warriors come home, and all the wives and children are taken off into plunder, and then the men of his army, they blame it on David. They're like, "David, no, what happened? You're not on the war, and all our wives and kids are gone. It's all your fault." And David is left like holding the sword, like, "What am I going to do? Everybody's turning on me, right?" The scripture says he went
encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he came back, they rallied, they went, they fought, they, with the help of the Lord, they got their wives and kids and all the plunder back, right? The battle was like that. So this is David every day encouraging himself in the presence of the Lord. Amen? God of encouragement. Now Dick Simmons back there, he taught me to be a repentance preacher. And so I think the repentance point of this, remember, repentance is just simply changing your mind. We were going this direction, now we go 180 into that direction, right? So repentance is just it's a change of mind. So the repentance point is simply saying, okay, I'm going to recognize that God is the God of encouragement, and I won't hold on to discouragement, because every single day God is trying to pry my fingers off of that. I'm going to allow him to pry my fingers off. I'm going to allow him to actually encourage me. I'm going to allow my heart to be encouraged. I'm not going to hold on to the right to emote me about my circumstances, but I'm going to let it go and let God actually encourage me today. That I can smile on my face. I can be joyful in all circumstances. There's some more, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? Again, and be thankful. All these things that the Lord encourages us with is, wow, it's real. It's his whole word. And so sometimes it's good, like, to take a step back from the Bible and almost look, okay, what is the tone of voice that God has written with through all 66 books? Behind all the lyrics, what's the sound of the song? It's the God encouraging. Comfort, comfort, O Jerusalem. It's going to be okay. There was a way from the Lord where we knew there was strength. You know, wait patiently in the Lord. Again and again and again, we find a God that just simply wants to encourage the heart of his people. He wants his people stoked. He wants his people encouraged. He wants them pumped every single day. This is our God. Don't let your hearts be hardened or troubled. It will only harden you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Amen. Turn with me to Acts 15. I'm going to share with you one of the most encouraging words that I've received recently from the Lord. And honestly, this is becoming pretty much the word that I'm probably going to run with for 2018 as far as a prophetic word for the United States. And I've been reading this book this past week and a half called Prayer Altars. It's by Pastor John Malindi from Uganda. Uganda, some of you know the history probably better than I, went through a couple of dictators and massive, just horrendous, 300,000 people were killed through Idi Amin's 7 or 8 years there. And since then, we had the Lord's Resistance Army, and tons of people in the Civil War have died in Uganda. On top of that was a pandemic of AIDS, HIV, where 36% of the population were basically facing the grave because of that. And finally, the church just started to pray. As Pastor Don Malindi began to challenge the nation, wherever, in your homes, in your businesses, in your churches, in your cities, begin to build prayer altars where you press into the presence of the Lord. And sure enough, over time, thanks to the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they weren't just praying lists of prayers, they were actually looking to create an environment where the Holy Spirit would be pleased to dwell. It's a big difference there. We're not just coming to the gate, all the prayer lists, you know, but they're actually looking to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And when God is dwelling there, then everything begins to change, doesn't it? Because the Holy Spirit is present. So this is what's happening on the wall right now with David's tent, is we're not just seeking to have a prayer meeting where we're praying prayers, although we're actually looking at creating a climate and an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to actually rest upon here in Washington, D.C. And we know when the Holy Spirit has come upon this city that everything begins to change. So here at Embassy Row, here at Embassy Church in Northwest D.C., we want to be tending as a priesthood to this altar so the nations around us and the embassies
surround us here as a church, we begin to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly their lives begin to change, their hearts begin to soften to the Lord. They don't even really know exactly why that's happening. They don't understand it, but they suddenly are beginning to get more and more open to Christ because the Holy Spirit is beginning to dwell, because the altar of prayer is being serviced by the priesthood day in and day out. Amen? So here in D.C., at David's Tent, it's been going now for over 2 years, and guess what? The city is beginning to change. Things are different. The culture is changing. Churches are being planted all over the district. It's wonderful stuff that's happening. Things are shifting in the government. But it's because the Holy Spirit is present, and he's active, and he's moving. Amen? So with the team going to Uganda, I didn't actually pick up this book because of that. I picked up this book because of prayer altars, and I realized, wow, this is happening in Uganda. And there's people praying all over that country now, and it's being transformed. I think the age rate is now about 6%. It's a lot of folks, isn't it? It's complete. That nation's being transformed by the power and presence of Jesus. So, Acts chapter 17. Verses 26 and 27. Do you know why you live where you live? This past year was the 300th anniversary of the Hershey's coming to the New World. And so earlier this past fall, I went up to Pennsylvania with my folks, and we had a huge 300th Hershey family reunion to remember the Hershey's coming to the New World. And over that time, I was seeking the Lord, saying, God, why are we here? Like, why are the Hershey's here now and not in, like, Switzerland, where we came from? Like, and right now we have massive amounts of people migrating from nation to nation to nation, especially coming out of the Middle East, all the refugees that are moving, political boundaries, things are changing. But here we have the reason why. This is why you live where you live. Acts chapter 6, 17, 26, and 27. And he, this is the God of encouragement, the God of encouragement, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So it's God that's decided. The people that live in Uganda, it was God that decided to put them there. Right now. The people that live in Brazil, it's God that put them there. The reason they're there is because God has decided, pre-appointed the times and places, the boundaries of where they live. Think about where you live right now. God has sent the Fire and Fragrance Kona team here. They're living in Fort Washington. They're praying, interceding, and worshiping, creating a dwelling for God in the National Mall right now. Why are they here within these boundaries? Why did my ancestors come from Europe into the New World? Why did their boundaries change? Okay, we're going to keep reading. He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should... Anybody? Seek the Lord. There is something about the boundaries of your dwelling that has created the perfect recipe for you to seek God right now. There's something about the reason why you're here that God has orchestrated it for you to seek God in that place. There's something about the boundaries of Uganda that God has created to be the perfect petri dish for the people from Uganda to seek the face of God. There's something about the boundaries of Brazil and even the provinces and cities where they live that God has created those places for the people to live there to seek him in those places. So Dick Simmons and Wayne Janice, they live together at the same address at 117 2nd Street, Northeast. God has placed them there. Why? To seek the Lord. That's why they're there, to build an altar of day and night worship and prayer right there across the street from the back door of the Supreme Court, so that God would have a dwelling place there, an environment where the Holy Spirit would be pleased to sit down upon that
the rest in that, so that they would seek God, God would find a resting place in them, and then there's something about that that's the perfect recipe for them to actually change America from that same place. Amen? So this year, after I got this word, okay, Lord, I live in my house with my wife and my children, and the reason why we all live together in the same place is to seek the Lord. So it used to be I had a separate room that was my prayer room, and then we had our living room over here, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. We're going to actually take the prayer room, and we're going to make it central. So I turned my previous prayer room into the office, and I took the keyboard and musical instruments and some of the artwork, and I'm like, okay, we're going to merge the prayer room with my living room. So I'm calling it the Living Room Crusade, where the goal is to get Christians all across the United States, believers, to make a David's Tabernacle in their living room, where literally their living room begins to become the place where their family, whether it's just husband and wife, or whether it's the dorm room, you and your buddy in your dorm room, but basically our home is the place for us to seek the Lord in that dwelling place. He's placed us in here, so now we're going to seek the Lord in that place. We're going to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. You guys have to understand that I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag. I have my kids in the room. I'll say this at the same time, but I'm just going to tell you, when my wife and I do this well, and we host the presence of the Holy Spirit in our home well, the amount of discipline that we have to do with our children is way less. Their behavior changes because God is in our midst. When we don't do it as well, guess what? We find ourselves doing a whole lot more discipline because they're not feeling God. Their hearts are getting restless. Right? Hearts are getting restless, and when your heart gets restless, then you also get restless in your behaviors, right? That's the way it works. And so, same thing for our city. As David's tent is hosting the presence of Jesus, we're going to watch DC settle into the peace and the joy of the world. The longer this goes on, we don't live in a vacuum, right? When the light shines, darkness has to flee. It's just the way it works. And so as the presence of Jesus is being hosted in Washington, D.C., in our homes, guess what? The strongholds of our family will begin to leave. Our family will begin to be transformed. And so my challenge for the Church of America this year, coming out of David's tent, is, okay, yeah, we've got this tabernacle and all that. But my challenge for the Church of America this year is, let's create environments in our home where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. That environment starts in here, in our hearts, doesn't it? With the God of encouragement. That's where it starts. The environment starts right here in our hearts with the God of encouragement. And then from there, with our buddy in our dorm room, or with our wife and kids, whatever, with the people that we live with, it starts up here, but then in agreement, together, we're going to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell in our midst. So I'm looking in here, and I'm like, okay, we probably have like 40 houses of prayer out of this group this morning. And we can get these houses of prayer burning all over the place. And if we get, and guess what? All those living rooms of prayer become places where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell in, and their neighborhood's going to start feeling it. Their neighbor's hearts are going to start softening to the gospel. Right? You start walking down the street and your neighbor starts opening up to you. He's never actually talked to you and had a personal conversation before ever. It's always just about the weather. And suddenly he starts telling you about the deep things of his heart. You get to pray with him. You're like, oh, I'm happy. Because you established an altar in your neighborhood, in your own home. You became, so our family is in the subdivision that's called Fort Foot Forest. And so we've established a 4-foot forest house of prayer in our living room, right? And we live in the zip code of Fort Washington. So a couple weeks ago, we got some other families in Fort Washington together. We said, hey, we're just going to get together because we want to begin to create a bit of an altar of prayer for our zip code for Fort Washington, right? And it goes on from there. Like, God has placed us in boundaries. We're going to seek the Lord within those boundaries. Here's the revelation a little bit that really connected the dots for me is this. If I am in Maryland, And the guy down the street is in Maryland. The reason I'm in Maryland is to seek the Lord. The reason he's in Maryland is also to seek the Lord. Then maybe it'd be really powerful if we got together and sought the Lord together. Because he's placed us within the same boundaries. I think this is what's going to make the 50-week, 50-state thing at David's tent this year so powerful. We have the state of Delaware coming tonight at midnight, kicking off the first week of 2018, as people from that state are coming to seek the Lord together. And then the whole nation, we already did it Awaken the Dawn of April, but it's happening this year, state after state after state. Right? You guys that have gone to Uganda today, God is changing your boundaries today. Today, God's changing your boundaries, okay? It was amazing for you guys to seek the Lord here in Fort Washington, Maryland, and in Washington, D.C. the last several months. But guess what? There's something about the recipe of the boundaries that you're going to be in starting tomorrow that's going to be the perfect environment for you to seek the Lord in. What I love about the Great Commission is it does come with a promise. Go. And lo, I will be with you. There is nothing like the intimacy of Jesus when you go. Nothing. It's incredible. He's in the going more than anything. Like, he's there, you know? The late, great Keith Green, musician, his final message before he died, he was planning to travel with Warren Cunningham from Youth with a Mission before he passed away, in an airplane. But his message was, the last thing that Jesus told you to do before he went to heaven was go. So unless you have a clear word to stay, you got to go back to the last thing Jesus said, and that was to go. Now, mostly in church culture, the thought is, unless I get a special call, if I get a special call from the Lord, then I'll be a missionary. Keith Green was flipping it on end. He's like, no, actually, the default button should be to go. And then only if you get a special call from the Lord should you stay, right? And so you guys are going, the Lord's changing your boundaries and you're going. For those of us that are staying, okay, I'm going to seek the Lord in my living room because that's the reason I'm there. You guys are going to leave for Brazil on Wednesday. God's changing your boundaries in 3 days. When you get to Brazil, guess what? You're there to seek God. Yes, you're there to minister to people. Yes, we're there to serve the Lord and to preach the gospel and to be missionaries and to do the work of the kingdom. To be the manifestation of the God of encouragement to others. You're there for that. But primarily, you're there to seek God. Every day, having your heart being so encouraged to the God of encouragement. Every day, finding, is there something else in the scripture? Oh! I can worship you as the healer? Yeah! Right now, there's kind of a lot of colds going around, right? A lot of flus, a lot of stuff. Just like, Jesus. The other day, I was up in the middle of the night. Anthem had a headache, earache thing. And for 2 hours, he was like reeling in pain on the couch. And for 2 hours, I was just like, just contending against the spirit of infirmity. Power of the name of Jesus. Get out! You know, like, just taking authority. And finally, after about 2 hours, he fell back to sleep and slept till noon the next day and woke up feeling great. And so, praise the Lord. Through the power of Jesus, we got a victory the other night, right? But worshiping, in the midst of that, worshiping Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. I can worship you as I'm today. I can seek your face. I can press into you. And I just believe that as we do this together, you guys, as we turn our living rooms, as we turn the altars of our own hearts into places where we seek God, there's just something intrinsic in us that knows, like, yeah, our nation will change as families begin to seek the Lord together. So it's real. I don't want to demonize the iPhone, because I actually put it on IHOP live stream sometimes to help tend to my personal altar, you know, with the Lord. So I'm not demonizing all iPhone, but let's not so serve this altar. Let's serve the Lord, right? Let's be obsessed with creating a resting place for him, not just the entertainment of our eyes and ears all the time.
you know? And, but it's so easy. It's like sometimes, like, the internet's the new TV. You know, the preachers used to preach against TV back in the day, but who watches TV anymore, you know? And so it's like the internet's become the new TV. It's like, let's put that aside. Let's gather together. Let's spend some time worshiping, creating an environment for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Cadence and I were talking the other night. Isn't it amazing that whenever we worship, it's like the atmosphere shifts. Suddenly peace comes in. We feel, it's great. God's here. That's the presence of the Lord. And that's why he's here. So 2018, let's every day meet with the God of encouragement. Let's every day be tending our own hearts before God, tending the atmosphere that he needs to dwell in.